You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
A very good evening to the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another fantastic edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As per usual, I'm your host, Hende, for the evening. I will be with you until 8 p.m., excuse me, on this great Sunday evening here on the Eagle Sports Zone, as usual, where we discuss all things sports. We like to look behind the curtain. We like to go behind the scenes. We like to dive into the things that make what we see on the sports field possible. So that's from your sports infrastructure, sports development, sports marketing, sports psychology, whatever you can think of that makes the sporting world tick. We discuss it here on the Eagle Sports Zone. And today, I want us to talk about the importance of record keeping, of collecting sports data, sports information. And, we're gonna look at it in the Namibian context, see where we are or where we are lacking when it comes to the record keeping of sports information, sports statistics, sports data in the country, and why it's important for a country to have, a database of its athletes' greatest achievements. And we'll be joined by a very special guest, actually, I can say a colleague of mine in this media realm. That will be none other than Mr. Carlos C.K. Cambaekwa, who recently launched a book titled The Untold History of Namibian Football. So in a few moments, let's say about 25 or so minutes, Carlos will join us in studio to discuss that and to, further discuss the topic that we have lined up for today. But before we get to that, before we get to the topic of the day, do remember that tomorrow is Monday, meaning that the Villager e-paper will be published. And if you'd like to become a subscriber of the Villager for free, simply send a WhatsApp message. That's to 081-200-4144. Very important that it's a WhatsApp message and that you save the number 081-200-4144. Include your email address if you'd like to receive it via email as well. And be sure to save, a very important step, to save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it gets pinged directly to your mobile device or to your email, wherever it is you prefer to view your latest in business, economics, agriculture, policy developments, sports even. There will be a sports article in there tomorrow for you to digest, to take in. So once again, if you'd like to become a subscriber, 081-200-4144, that's on WhatsApp, send a message, cost you a total of $0.00. Be sure to save that number as a contact to receive tomorrow's brand new fabulous edition of the Villager e-paper. And as always, you're tuned into your number one talk radio station. If you happen to not be tuned in via the traditional radio, you can, of course, listen to Eagle FM on the go wherever you are. That's not just in Namibia, that's in the world. So I know I'm talking to the world right now. We have listeners all over the world. If you have a mobile device, if you have an iPad, if you have a tablet, whatever it is, if you have a laptop, if you have a desktop, you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are on the go, whether you're going on a jog. It's warming up now in the country. I see a lot more people running outside now. Whether you're riding your bike, whether you're at the gym, whether you're going to the grocery store, whether you're taking the kids to school, whether you're doing your laundry around the house, Eagle FM can be by your side simply by downloading the Eagle FM mobile application. And that all you have to do is type in Eagle FM Namibia. That's on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Once again, a free to download. And you'll have access to Eagle FM wherever you are on the go. And if for whatever reason you happen to miss a broadcast of the, of your favorite show, whether it's this one, the Eagle Sports Zone, whether it's, Unpacking the Day, Mind the Gap, The Twilight, whatever fantastic show we have for you that is your favorite show. If you missed that show, simply download, simply go to the podcast section, of the Eagle FM mobile application or the podcast section of the Eagle FM website, which is www.eaglefm.com.na. Type in the name of your favorite show and you will have access to a huge discography of our previous broadcasts, whether that's from yesterday, whether that's from last week, last month, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Your favorite shows are available for you in the podcast section of the Eagle FM mobile application and Eagle FM website. Now, another fantastic app for you to download. You know, today is Sunday, so I know a lot of you, you know, were singing hymns in whichever is your preferred church. So whether it's for church, whether it's for a baptism, whether it's for a baby shower, whether it's for a wedding, whatever reason you have to congregate and sing your favorite hymns, you don't need to look any further than the Imba mobile application. That is an app for you that is free to download as well on the Google Play Store, on the Apple App Store. Simply type in Imba, that's I-M-B-A. Look for the blue icon with a white music note on it. And you'll have access to hymns in, that's English, that's Oshiwambo, that's Damaranama, that's Herero, that's Silozi, Portuguese, German, Afrikaans. In other words, if the hymn exists, it is in the Imba mobile application, so you don't have to carry around a big heavy hymn book or several heavy hymn books. If you know you sing songs from various denominations. So make sure you download the Imba mobile application. Check out the premium features as well. Become a premium subscriber to get access to fantastic premium features such as tender adverts, vacancy adverts. You'll be able to use the app offline. You'll be able to collect your favorite hymns in a favorite section. The melody of the hymn. You can play that once you open the hymn. So unlock all those great features with the premium side of the Imba mobile application. Pretty simple to use. Check out our social media pages if you do not, you know, succeed on your own. But it has been made fairly simple. And on the Imba mobile application as well as the Eagle FM mobile application, you will notice a wonderful rotating digital display for you to interact with that has all kinds of information on there for you, all kinds of reports, whether that you're looking for the constitutions, whether you're looking for the national budget, whether you're looking for a census report, whether you're looking for reports from the World Bank, you know, all kinds of reports, more than you can even think of, are available for you on the digital display of the Eagle FM and Imba mobile applications. You'll see the call to action, simply follow it, and you'll be directed, or you'll be given access rather, to these great applications. Things like the NDP6 in its full glory are there for you. Things like the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan are there for you in its full glory. So make sure you download those two applications. That's Imba Mobile and Eagle FM mobile application. And on the other side of this, we will get into the local sports news that happened over the last few days. And, once we run through our local sports news, we will get in touch with our guests, as I said. So we'll be back right on the other side of this brief intermission.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as I promised before the commercial break, we will go through some local sports news. As always, if you'd like to chime into the conversation, simply dial 083-288-4041. That's 083-288-4041. Now we'll start with swimming. Our swimmers, as they've been doing the whole year, are shining once again, representing Namibia well on the international stage. With a team of 23 talented swimmers, ages between 11 and 23, were representing Namibia at the Africa Aquatics Zone 4 Championships in Manzini, Eswatini. And Namibia performed very well there, as I said, collecting 68 medals. From the pool events alone, the open water championship results are, I'm still waiting on my sources to give me those. But, from the pool events, we collected 68 medals, 22 gold, 21 silver, and 25 bronze medals. And Namibia actually retained its title as the winner of the competition, having won it last year, and we've now won it a total of 3 times. So this has been a competition our swimmers have had success in the past. This competition includes swimmers from South Africa, Zimbabwe, Seychelles, Madagascar, Angola, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, of course the host Eswatini, Malawi, and Mauritius. So basically the region 5 nations plus the island brothers and sisters. So we had a few records being set by our swimmers. We had a 14-year-old Victoria De Sousa, who's been one of the standout swimmers this year. She set a new zone 4 and Namibian record in the 800 meter freestyle. She also set a zone 4 championship record in the records in the 200 meter breaststroke as well as the 400 meter freestyle. Then we had Oliver Durand, who's also had a fantastic swimming season, who's 18 years old, set a zone 4 set zone 4 records in the 800 meter freestyle, 100 meter backstroke, 200 meter breaststroke, 200 meter freestyle, 200 meter backstroke, 400 meter freestyle, 100 meter freestyle, and 100 meter breaststroke. Whoo! Oliver performed fantastically. We had one of the younger ones. That's 11-year-old Rose van Wyk, set a zone 4 records in the 100 meter breaststroke as well as the 50 meter breaststroke. And her 50 meter breaststroke time of 37.17 seconds is also a new Namibian record in her category. And then we had Patrick Durand. He set a zone 4 record in the 200 meter backstroke. As I said, Namibia finished the winner of the event ahead of South Africa with a total of 2,254 points. That's now a team score. South Africa finished second with a team score of 2,021, and in third place was Zimbabwe with with 1,703 points. And Namibia's men's, that was the combined score that I read, but Namibia also won in the men's team scoring, finishing ahead of South Africa once more with 1,225 points. South Africa finished second, as I said, with 957, and in third, Zimbabwe again. On the women's side, South Africa managed to finish first there, Namibia finishing second, and Zimbabwe finishing third. Now, moving on to the cricket side of things. We had the Capricorn Eagles in action. We had the Capricorn Eagles in action. That's the ladies and national team. They once again put the country on the map with their stellar performances, this time performing locally, as they hosted the ICC Women's T20 World Cup Africa qualifiers at the brand new. At the brand new FNB Namibia Cricket Ground and HP Cricket Oval. So this was basically the sort of the African qualifiers for the upcoming Women's ICC T20 World Cup. But this qualifier was a precursor to another qualifier. So the finalists from this tournament that included Tanzania, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe. Did I leave anyone out? Yes, those nations, and of course Namibia. It was the top two move on to the global qualifiers, which will be taking place in Nepal. That's from the 12th to the 2nd of February 2026. So our ladies, the Namibian side, the Namibian national team, that's the Capricorn Eagles, managed to make it to the final of the African qualifiers, but losing the final to Zimbabwe. But simply qualifying for the final was enough for them to now move on to the global qualifiers, a great historic feat for the ladies, so they will now have the opportunity to qualify for the upcoming World Cup. And I'd like us to take a listen to Sune Wittmann, who is the captain of the Capricorn Eagles, giving a very emotional interview encapsulating the hard work. The hard work that the ladies have put in over the past, let's call it 18 or so months. You know, they've performed well on various international stages. Various international tournaments, whether that's been over, they've actually been to Nepal before, if I'm not mistaken. Also, recently I remember they were in Uganda. So, our ladies are doing well. Let's take a listen to, as I said, the interview from Namibia's captain, Sune Wittmann. Here she is.
We're joined by Captain Sune Wittmann, a historic moment for the national cricket women's side. Talk to us about how you're feeling after this moment.
Obviously emotional, but so proud. We've been in a few African or T20 African qualifiers finals previously, and yeah, only the winning team went through to global qualifiers, and the year they changed the two African teams to go to globals. We missed out on the final, and yeah, this ladies, the motivation was so big to make sure we get ourselves into that final, to make sure we get ourselves on that plane. the ladies have worked so, so hard off the pitch, getting to jams, getting to evening sessions. And yeah, it's a special moment. Congratulations.
That was Namibia's captain, Sune Wittmann. As she said before, you know, they've reached the final of the African qualifiers before, but before it was only the winner that made it to the global qualifiers, but now they increased that number to 2. So it's now the first time that a Namibian national women's cricket side is going to compete for a place at the World Cup. On the men's side, we had Namibia's Bernard Schultz, who made some history over the weekend by becoming the first ever Namibian to reach 100 ODI, that's one day international wickets. He achieved this historic feat after getting 3 wickets against Scotland, and Schultz now ranks 4th in the global ICC ODI bowling rankings. So congratulations to Bernard. Cricket as usual, putting the country on the map with their stellar performances. Now moving on to football. Our beloved Brave Warriors played their first of 2 World Cup FIFA World Cup qualifiers in Botswana. That's over in Francistown at the Obert Itani Chiluma Stadium. They lost 2-1 to Malawi in what was, you know, a crucial World Cup qualifier. Richard Mbulu and Gabadinho Mhango opened the scoring for Malawi. Namibia's David Ndonyema pulled one back, but it was too little too late. And Namibia now has another match coming up against that's Sao Tome on Tuesday, also in Botswana, to keep their hopes alive. Slowly fading away though, because they are still second in the group, but Tunisia now has 19 points, Namibia has 12. So that's a 7-point gap. Qualification looking very, very slim. For the Brave Warriors. But, you know, never say never. But yeah, the next fixture for the Brave Warriors is against Sao Tome. The island nation of Sao Tome and Principe. And then in some, I guess I could say, unfortunate news regarding the Brave Warriors. The goalkeeper Lloyd Kazapua and striker Isaska Gurirab have been released from camp in Francistown after leaving the team hotel without permission on Friday night. So some ill discipline there, unfortunately, from the Brave Warriors. But let's see on Tuesday if the Brave Warriors can give us some better news. Now moving on to the sport of running, where we had the Nedbank City Dash took place this morning in Windhoek. The 5th edition of the City Dash, there were over 2,500 runners this year, so it was the biggest one so far. And they had cash prizes of over 200,000 Namibian dollars. In the elite men's category, there was the 10 kilometer. You had Daniel Paulus winning that one in a time of 29.19 seconds. He was actually the only person to run a sub-30 time. Matthias Simon coming in second, and Jeremiah Shaliaho Shalia Hui, excuse me, coming in third. On the women's side, we had Lavinia Haitope winning that one with a time of 34.40 seconds. And we had Shivomwene Shilongo coming in second. And Salmi Nduvitego coming in third. Staying in the sport of, in the realm of the sport of running, there was triathlon as well. On the international stage, where Namibian para-athletes, who we've had here on the Eagle Sports Zone before, if you guys remember, we only have two para-athletes in the country, and they were here. So if you would like to listen to that interview, like I said, go to the podcast section. You will have access to that. But Jerome Roy officially booked his place at the 2025 World Championships, which are set to take place in Australia in October. He earned his qualification at the World Cup that took place in Alhambra, Portugal, where he finished third overall with a time of 1 hour, 21 minutes, and 31 seconds. And lastly, to round up the local sports news, the school rugby season came to an end with Moria Private School making history in the under-19 category in the Super Rugby League when they beat Windhoek High School 55-40. It was the first time ever that the Moria Private School scooped the title. So some local sports history being made. And speaking of local sports history, in a few moments we'll get, or on the other side of this rather, we'll get in touch with our guests to discuss our topic of the day, which is the importance of record keeping, of data collection. And as I said, we'll be joined by Carlos Kambayekwa, the author of The Untold History of Namibian Football, joining us in just a few moments. We will be back on the other side of this.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You seem so worried.
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a...
Yes, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as promised before the commercial break, we are now joined by our guest, who is none other than Mr. Carlos C.K. Kambayekwa. Mr. Carlos, how are you doing this evening?
I'm in great spirits. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And thank you very much for making time for us this evening. And today what we're discussing in the Eagle Sports Zone is the importance of recording sports history. And then, as you are the author of recently published a book titled The Untold History of Namibian Football, I'd like to start off by, you know, you telling us the importance of keeping track of history in especially Namibian sports.
When I started writing this book, actually it was the late president, Dr. Hage Teenkop, who requested me to write a book about Namibian football because he believes that I have vast knowledge about the game. I went to many archives and you know, all those places, I couldn't find anything written about sports, not only football.
Yeah.
There's no history recorded about sports.
Yeah.
And music.
Yeah.
And I was inspired to really to chronicle all the history of Namibian football.
Mm-hmm.
It was during my time as a journalist, whenever I interviewed people, there were always some things that I thought, but these stories need to be told.
Yeah.
Because it's not only about teams, it's about also the hardships, also the element of apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
I know I played for a white club, Premier, at some stage during my, okay.
Yeah.
And I played with some guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, as I was going through the photos and some of the archive stuff,
mm-hmm.
I picked up some of the guys and I played with white guys who could hardly play football. I mean, they were not good players. These guys represented the country. At youth level, all youth levels in whatever state.
Yeah.
And I thought that we were denied this chance to represent our land,
mm-hmm.
the land of our foremothers,
mm-hmm.
Because of apartheid. And these guys had all the opportunities to play provincial football. At the time, we were not playing national football, provincial football. But still, it was an honor to represent your country.
Yeah.
Whether it was a province or not, but it's still your country.
Yeah.
And well, a number of things also, the impact of football, of school football. At the time, school football was very, very strong and was very competitive to the extent that a school like Jebra, they won most of the tournaments, the knockout cup tournaments against the teams from outside. Established, well-established teams. And at times you find the Jebra first team and second team in the final of a knockout cup,
mm-hmm.
cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a team like Black Africa. The strength of Black Africa, they always step into students
mm-hmm.
from Jebra
mm-hmm.
in those secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they played because they were trained in proper structures by Mr. Willem Hans, who was trained in Germany and he was exposed to new techniques. He was always ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys who came from that school, they played different football because they understood football differently.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of things like, for instance, there was a team of that was selected of colored masters and black players, Bandus. In those days, the white people used to refer to us as Bandus.
Yeah.
So, and this team was supposed to go and represent South Africa in South Africa in a tournament.
Uh-huh.
And then when the authorities said, no, you cannot play with colors. But colors one side and the Bandus one side. And these guys, they dug their heels in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
This thing didn't go. I mean, the impact of apartheid
mm-hmm.
that was there. And a team went also to Pretoria, a black team, a black 11.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing against a white soldiers and police officers.
Yeah.
A combined team of police officers and army forces.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the first 20, in those days we really had good players, great players, guys like Timo, Angle Warwick. We had great, great players, Rupi Kamulu and all these guys,
mm-hmm.
Officer Maria, great guys. In the first 20 minutes, the team was leading 4-0. So they were instructed in typical army fashion not to shoot anymore from their, from the other half, they must shoot from their own half.
Yeah.
And when the ball goes out of touch, they were also ordered to go and pick up these balls.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not their throw, they might be, you see the kind of apartheid that we're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, one of the most important aspects that I picked up as I was doing research and all these things, I realized that football, the power of football, is very, 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 very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 1975, there was a match played between blacks and whites, against whites, blacks against Black 11 against White 11.
Yeah.
It was during the heart of apartheid.
Yeah.
The match was played at the Tenkop Stadium. At the time, it was a rugby stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The stadium was packed to capacity. The white were seated one side on the grandstand and the blacks on the outside. Obviously, the blacks outnumbered the whites.
Yeah.
But again, there was tension before the match. They had Kasparov there waiting because they anticipated that there would be a hostile reception.
Mm-hmm.
From the black people. Because the black people were somehow perceived as being rebellious and dangerous for the well-being of white people.
Mm-hmm.
But the match went quite well. It was 3-0. obviously, Blacks were supposed to win this match, but it was a white referee who was instructed to make sure that the Blacks did not win.
Yeah.
And then there was a replay. The Whites won 2-1. But after that, from what I gathered later on during my attachment to white people and my, you see, when I was mingling with these guys, I found out that the white guys, they were actually the one who took the lead. They put pressure on government to abolish apartheid, across all sports codes.
Oh, really?
So, yes, exactly. So, apartheid was not only abolished in sports, all sports codes in 1977. That was the other match was in 76. So, after that, the white people started putting pressure on them. We are enjoying playing against this guy. Atmosphere is fine. There's no hostility and all these things. So, as a result, apartheid was also slightly, not slightly, 70%, 80%. Because abolished. Yes, now we could also now enter in restaurants. We could go into the same toilets as white people. Although there was one white guy there. His name was Jan van der Berg. He used to run a restaurant called Apollo Restaurant at Auschwitz. That dude, he was Afrikaner, typical Afrikaner guy. He said, no way, he's not going to allow black people. And until I think his shop was closed, eventually it was closed.
Yeah.
But, and again, I realized that the peace and stability that we enjoy in this country, because we didn't have problems in integrating blacks with white people when we got independence in 1990. Because from that football match in 1975 is when blacks and whites started to mingle. And white people also, they started to realize that these people, we can coexist with these people.
Yeah.
They are not as violent as we thought, because it's always perception.
Yeah.
A lot of people are driven by perception, misplaced perceptions about other people. So football has played a major role, even in the olden days. Most of these teams, even up to this day, they were established along tribal lines.
Yeah.
But I think at some stage that thing was broken, because a lot of teams started to take tribes from players from other tribes. Something that was taboo in the 60s, 50s, 70s, and 80s, and so on.
Yeah.
Even the white people, they had the German team, SKW, and they had Rembrandt, which was predominantly English and a few Portuguese guys. The Portuguese also had their own team in Wolves Bay, Sparta United. The Afrikaners also had their own team, Wanderers and Talpa. You see, these tribal teams was not only confined to black people.
Yeah.
That was a culture that divided the whole thing. So, but football managed to unite people. And I think the peace and stability that we're enjoying in this country is through football. We need to play football for that.
Yeah, no, it shows the power of sports and football in particular.
Yes. And another good thing about that book is results. If you want to look at the results, from which year, which team played in which final, and who won against who scores, it's from 1910, it's this where we started from. Because football was introduced by German settlers in Okahandja.
Okay.
Yes. And the good thing about that book is each and every chapter has a corresponding photo. If I tell you that John Mutora played football or Age Kengo played football,
Yeah.
Janice Kong, I'm talking about prominent names like Pukovic, David Pukovic, Sven Timmer. All these guys played football, and the photos are there within their teams when they played football. And it was not an easy task. I mean, getting these names, because a lot of people forgot.
Yeah.
We're talking about from 1910. Most people died, so you have to research, to do research. And you know, history can be twisted sometimes, sometimes deliberately, but sometimes it's because people forgot. Sometimes it's deliberately.
Yeah.
But I have to do research and make 100% sure that you put out facts there.
So
it was not a walk in the park.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And I want to ask about, the research it took. So when you say you were doing research, was there like a actual archives for you to go to, or you just had to rely on basically word of mouth from the various, let's say, clubs and things you were going to?
It was mostly also historical accounts, probably just oral. People tell you, you go and see these people.
Yeah.
And also I had the information from my connection with players. I interviewed a lot of people. And most of the guys, I also watched them playing. Because there are also short profiles of top players. So, most of these things were not actually written anyway. It's from oral accounts. People tell you this, but you have to make 100% sure.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you see, somebody tell you that this thing happening so such a year in education. But this guy must have been 12 years old. It's impossible for him to have achieved that of his job. So you have to make double sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not easy. But luckily, I mean, I knew a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, for me, luckily, because also my musical background, I know a lot of colors. I mingled with them. I know a lot of white people. So it was very easy because I'm a multicultural guy.
Yeah.
So it was very easy for me to get the information from all corners of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about that book, nobody is excluded.
Mm-hmm.
All the players from all the towns in Namibia and the teams. And the one thing that I've also noticed is when we talk and when we write about history, we forgot to write about white people.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they were oppressing us,
mm-hmm.
they are part of our history. We need to tell their story as well.
Yeah, it's part of the story.
So, yeah, and that's what they are well covered.
Mm-hmm.
They started the game, they had the teams, and there was also one funny story that I want to tell you.
Yeah, sure.
Tigers Football Club was established in 1927.
Which football club?
Tigers Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
In Venduba.
Yeah.
Wearing blue and white colors.
Mm-hmm.
Here, 1945 comes Rembrandt, the white club.
Mm-hmm.
Also
blue
and white.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers were called in by the authorities and instructed to change their colors because they're clashing with that of the white team.
Oh, wow.
Despite the fact that they were not playing against each other, they were not playing in the same league.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't allow a black team to wear the same colors that is wore by owned by white team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also instructed to change their name from Tigers to Rickets. They became Rickets because apparently Tiger was a very dangerous, aggressive animal, and they will also become aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
All this kind of apartheid things, I mean, these are stories that need to be told.
Yeah, and stories that we don't hear about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A number of things, a lot of things, and especially how football was played, especially in those days, most of the players, they did not understand the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we started playing against white people in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
The blacks had difficulties in interpreting the offside rule.
Mm-hmm.
So the white were all there. They were a little bit ahead. We struggled.
Yeah.
But we managed. You see, because those teams, most of the white teams had players from South Africa, Germany. They had very top players. SKW and Rebels had very good players. And Sparta United.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a very strong team. They had a lot of guys who played professional football before.
Mm-hmm.
But the blacks managed to catch up with them, and they really, I mean, football was enjoyed by everybody at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Carlos, I want to ask you about, in your view, do you think, Namibian sports history is told enough to the young people of today?
Not yet. To be quite honest, I think this book is the first of its kind. Although there have been a few magazines here,
mm-hmm.
but it did not cover football or the game extensively from where it started from, and all aspects of the game, like school football,
mm-hmm.
Now with the youth academies, women's football, and how football was played in the old days.
Yeah.
And the top players, the prominent players, and also covering all the cities and towns.
Yeah.
I mean, this book covers all the cities and towns, even villages.
Mm-hmm.
Those towns that are somewhere there where they have teams. And prominent players are also well covered. I think it's the first of its kind. And when I was, like I was saying, I went to the archives. There was nothing is written about music as well.
Yeah.
So we need to write our own history. If we don't write our own history, I think our children will be lost.
Mm-hmm. And now speaking of your own history, you know, even, if I look at the times that we're in today, if I want to look for information, even just from, let's say, a match from 5 years ago, it's very difficult to find. What do you think is why do we struggle to record sports information in Namibia?
I think we don't have the right people in the right structures.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, if I go to NFL now, I ask a certain player how many caps.
Yeah.
That guy has. They can't tell you. They don't have keep records. They don't have those records.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the records.
Yeah,
they don't have records. They cannot tell you which team played against Namibia during our independence day and what was the score and who was the goal scorer. You will struggle to get this information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't record things. Probably it's a culture with us. were not recording things. If you go to even the photos, I was a little struggling. I had difficulty finding photos, old photos from the black athletes.
Yeah.
But why they have all the things from those days, records,
mm-hmm.
statistics, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it's our fault or maybe we don't care about it. Even the culture of reading, even the people that really that were in that bought into this project, they were white people.
Yeah.
Even at my lodge there were a lot of white people. Some of them flew in from Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
They flew in just to be at the lodge because for them they really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But black people, I think we take things for granted.
Yeah.
We don't understand the essence of history, that we need to preserve history. And the only way for us to preserve that, we must write it. We must write our own history.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot allow us, one of these days you'll find maybe a German, somebody will come from Germany, who wants to write something about Namibian football. I mean, if you want to do justice to the whole project.
Exactly.
You need somebody on the ground who understands and will know the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I have two more questions for you. Firstly, if the people out there, if they want to get access to this book, how can they get this book?
They must call me on my number. They must go to Kateta's training in Soweto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we are still now waiting for the first one was sold out.
Okay.
Sold out. When the interest is astronomical, you won't believe it.
Yeah.
But we are going to, I'm now in discussions with two publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is actually happening is the publishers take a big slice of your profit,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no law that says no, the book must go to CNA or whatever. But obviously to be accessible, we are going to make this project really big and we want to make it successful. And I think we are destined to make it a success.
Yeah. And do you know if there's other books for other sports of this nature? Namibian ones now?
I've not seen anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
To be quite honest, I've not seen it.
Yeah.
I think there was a book about athletics that was written by Erwin Andura, but it's a kind of a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Small, but it did not cover, this book is extensive.
Mm-hmm.
It covers every aspect about football.
Yeah.
Even youth football, even women's football. From 1910 up to where we are now, even research. No, I've not seen something like that before.
Excellent. And my last question, as a veteran sports journalist, what's encouraging you about Namibian sports these days?
Look, to be brutally honest, we have a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia has a talent. I mean, look at our cricket team, how they are doing. I mean,
yeah.
If you look at the size of our population,
yeah.
Look at our regular team, always qualifying for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our athletes, we produce world-class athletes like the Swengi and them now, the Bombers. We've done pretty well. And then if you look at our football players that are playing in South Africa, all the best players in South Africa, the Namibians, John Hoto, Peter Salulile,
yeah.
You name them, Henrico Bodes, all our guys have done well. And even now, the top goal scorer is Salulile.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who has scored the highest number of goals in the history of South African football. He's a Namibian, Doc Hartley, in 1976. He scored 9 goals against Richmond Stars in the Benson and Rangers Cup. That record is yet to be tumbled up to now as we talk now. Since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
That record is still intact.
Yeah.
So, but the problem that I'm having is sports is right at the bottom of our government's list of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really take sports seriously. We don't understand the benefit of sports.
Yeah.
No, we need the right people there. I remember once, I went to cover something there, the sports ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one dude there who was probably, he was apparently the special advisor to the minister.
Mm-hmm.
And now when we're done, they were chopping those questions and stuff like that. He was asking me, what's the time of the World Cup? I think it was 2006 when the World Cup was played in Germany.
Yeah.
You ask me now, why is Liverpool and Manchester United not playing in the World Cup? Serious, it's not a joke.
For real?
Yeah, he's a special advisor to the minister.
He's
a special advisor to the minister asking you such questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say these people are really taking sports seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's
we need to take sports seriously.
That's a big problem, yeah. So yeah. Does the, you mentioned the... Well, it seems we lost Carlos there. We'll try to get in touch with him to ask him one final question. Let's see if we can get him back
after this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. It seems that our good friend Mr. Carlos, his phone seems to have died. If he gets back in touch with us, we will reconnect him just to ask him one final question. But let's talk about what he did discuss with us. And if you'd like to give your opinion on what we just heard from the veteran Carlos Kambayekwa, you can call into the studio at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. He gave us a very good, very insightful interview. You know, it's always good for me, especially to hear from someone who was there essentially before Namibia existed, that has seen the before and after of Namibia when it comes to independence. You know, he spoke about the blacks versus whites only match, talked about basically saying that, you know, this football match that was held in, did he say 76, 1976, 77 between blacks and whites was part of, you know, what eased the apartheid environment, so to say. You know, of course, I wasn't there. I'm not able to confirm or deny this, but I don't think that's something he would make up. And it's something that's quite believable, actually, that, you know, that the white people learned through football that, you know, these black people aren't too bad. They're not as violent as we thought, or they're not as bad as we thought. And, you know, the fact that they had to learn that through football, unfortunate, but again, shows the power of sport, and in Namibia shows the power of football. So I think it's very fantastic that he wrote this book and told some of these. So, I mean, from 1910, for example, I didn't know that football was brought to Namibia by the Germans. He said in Otjiwarongo or Kahanja, one of the two. No, that's something I wish I would have learned at school about Namibian history. But that's why we have the Eagle Sports Zone, to continue to learn about, you know, when he talked about Tigers being formed in 19, I believe he said 27, and then Ramblers being formed about 10 or so years after. And the history behind, the colors of the teams, you know, Ramblers, okay, today they don't wear, I don't think they wear the blue and white stripes anymore, but for a long time they did. I think now they just wear pure blue. Tigers also, I think the last I saw them play anyways, last year or this year, they wore pure blue. They don't do the stripes anymore, but you know, the fact that, that sport was so, I guess you can say political at the time, which goes back to our favorite quote of the show, how sport is a reflection of what happens in our society. That there, Carlos gave a great description of sport being a reflection in society, with Tigers being asked to change their colors simply because there was now a white team in Ramblers that wanted to use those same colors as well. Now, if you'd like to chime in, 0832-888-401. And, I was particularly eager to hear from Carlos about the archives, because this is a very big problem. And I'm speaking now, not just as a fan of sports,
but also as a, you know, the sports information you guys see from Eagle FM for the most part comes from myself. And so sometimes, you know, when I'm trying to provide information, trying to give a historical context, you know, trying to see is a certain feat, is it a record, is it the first time it's happened, how many times has this happened before, it's impossible to do. Why? Because of what Carlos mentioned. These archives simply don't exist, and I don't really understand why. And it's a shame, actually. Because I remember once, you know, when, I'll give one story. When Zenata Coleman, the Namibian women's football player, football legend, I should say, when she had a street named after her in her hometown. You know, when I was trying to write the update for that, I wanted to give context as to why we're saying that she's a legend. You know, I wanted to have her national team appearances. I wanted to have a number of national team goals. I wanted to have a national team assists. You know, maybe number of club goals would have been great as well. But I couldn't. I couldn't provide that information accurately. And I remember I ended up using what was on her Wikipedia bio, which as Wikipedia, as we know, isn't the most reliable of information sources. And you know, I reached out to the relevant place, like Carlos said, the NFA. I reached out, I said, yo, is there an archive to which you can confirm or deny this number? And long story short, the answer was no, there wasn't. So, you know, here I am at a media house trying to celebrate a local legend, but I can't do so accurately. Why? Because we don't have the correct information in place. And this is something that Minister Steenkamp had mentioned a few months ago, you know, when they had that visit with all the, how many is it now, 56, 55, however many federations we have, when essentially all of them were in a room and it was like a familiarization encounter, so to say. She made a point of this, and this is someone who, she admitted herself, I don't want to say not a sports fan, but not a, a lot of the sports world is new to her, this is by her own admittance, right? And even she identified that, at least she said it on that day, she said, from now on, I want you guys, being the federations, to keep record of the feats of your athletes. She said this, and I can pretty much confirm that they didn't follow suit as to what she said, because if I asked you now for some information from any sport, really, that happened this year, not 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or as Carlos was alluding to, 60 years ago, just stuff that happened this year, I wouldn't be able to find that information. The only way you find the information is through the writings from, you know, from old newspapers, from old social media posts. Those are our archives in Namibia. When we want information, we look, I can attest as someone that, you know, writes these things. When I want to confirm information, I have to look if my other media colleagues have written on this before. That's my source of confirmation. And it shouldn't be that way. There should be a dedicated database for this information. And it shouldn't only be in what quote unquote professional sports or our high level sports, our premier leagues. It should be for all sports, from youth to the seniors. And you know, there was a time earlier this year I don't even remember when it was because it was that long ago, and I sort of gave up in this getting information on this endeavor, you know. The commission invited all the journalists, all the media houses to announce this this good initiative, which was good on paper, which I was very excited about, because it was supposed to solve this problem that I've just been speaking about for the last 5-10 minutes. About this national sports database that was also part of the visit I mentioned that the minister had with the federations. They were talking about this, about how it's in their development plan, sustainable goals, yada yada yada, those things. Was supposed to be launched. From the date it was announced, it was supposed to be launched, like, let's say within a month from the date it was initially announced. Then, of course, there was delays. Kept following up. When is this happening? When is this coming out? Delays upon delays, until I stopped asking. And now it's probably been 3-4 months since this thing was announced that was supposed to solve this problem that I was speaking about. He was supposed to be able to find dates of all the sports. So this was supposed to be your one-stop shop for, if you want to know what sports are taking place when, this was supposed to be your one-stop shop for results. So it's supposed to be your one-stop shop for information on, let's say now in football, if you wanted to know goals, if you wanted to know how many yellow cards, if you wanted to know appearances, you know. All the sports were supposed to register on this portal, on this database, to give us said information. But we're now in September. Let me confirm when this was announced. This was launched on 27th of March. Scheduled to be fully launched on 7th April. So that's April. Let's go from April. April, June, July, August, September. It's now going on 5 months that this was announced, and we have essentially nothing. Which I think is a shame. And it just, it adds on it creates a level of fatigue almost. Because, you know, you get invited to these elaborate events. You make sure the information gets out there to the public. Everyone gets excited. And then when it's time for things to actually happen, the things never happen. You know, this is not only exclusive to sports. I feel like this happens across various sectors and industries in Namibia. You know, as I always say, sport reflects society. So I guess this is just something that happens in our Namibian society, where, you know, we like to announce things, we like to have big extravagant press conferences, but the things never happen, or almost never actually happen. Because, I mean, the sports season is essentially done now. There's not much local sports left. So, we're going. Another year without this crucial information. Now, on the other side of this break, musical break, we'll continue the chat on why record keeping is important, and look ahead to some sports that might be coming up. We will be back right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. The time is now 19 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. We have around 40 minutes left in the program. Okay, we still couldn't get a hold of Carlos. That was it from him today. But as always, if you'd like to chime in, call in at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. And another reason why it's important to keep record of Not just records, like when someone does something for the first time, but sports statistics in general, right? Is, for example, on the, whether it's the coaching or developmental side, right? I would be eager to know if our coaches, whether that's on the football team, whether that's in the rugby team, cricket, I think does a decent, they actually, on the international side, they have a third party that collects data for them. But, you know, for example, the guys in the national team now, the Brave Warriors that we just spoke about, who are in action on Tuesday. I wonder if, whether it's the coach himself or, you know, the technical staff, whoever they have there on the staff, if they can accurately say how many appearances each player has made across this football season, how many minutes each player has played across this football season, how many goals, especially for the forwards, that you would think that would be good information to know, how many goals each player has. You know, information like that would be crucial to the coaching process. And I know some of the guys, they play for more professional setups in the foreign clubs, or someone like Shalulile, someone like Otto, you know, data on him, I'm sure is readily available. But for our local guys, I'm inclined to say it's not as available, right? Helps you identify trends within whatever sport it is that you do. You know, I had the opportunity to take a sports data class, right? And in that class, we were required to build, you know, various models depending on what the lecturer asked us to do. But all our data sets that we were given was of things that actually happened, meaning that happened in the country. So whether it was, you know, whether it was a baseball match or season, whether it was basketball, American football, whatever it is that you can think of, the data was readily available for us to study and manipulate. And so, I know we have a sports management course here in Namibia at NUST, but more than likely, they don't have a sports data class. And if they do have one, they're using data from abroad. But then again, that's like, okay, you're training the students on how to use this, how to use these platforms, how to manipulate data. That's, you know, 100% no argument for me there. But does that skill then become useful in the Namibian context if they can never actually practice that in the country? You know? How would a Namibian sports management student build a XG model on Namibian football? There's no one keeping track of such information. Or build any kind of a predictive model in general. There's no one keeping track of such information. So like Carlos said, things need to change. We need to get, I don't know whether it's people in place or systems in place. But even for example, the national athletics that we just had. You know, I have access to the final results because, you know, I happen to work at a media house. But if I was a student out there, or if I was, you know, just a regular sports enthusiast, and I wanted to seek out this information, I wouldn't be able to find it. The only information I'll be able to find is the information that Hende wrote about, that he might have only decided to write about the 100 meter winner, the 200 meter winner. He, you know, or the record that was broken during the nationals. But if I was someone that wanted the full results,
a regular Namibian wouldn't be able to access that information. Unless perhaps if they approach, you know, Athletics Namibia and say, I would like this. But then the person at Athletics Namibia would ask, why do you want this information? And then second, the person would have to pray that they even have the information somewhere in their archives, if they have archives to begin with. But in other places, said information is readily available at our fingertips. And so I hope Namibia will get to a stage where that's possible. I believe that will also improve our storytelling in the media. You know, speaking to my media colleagues, some of the stories that we tell, it's almost, you know, if you follow Namibian sports, there's a general template of how the stories are told. It's very, lacking substance, let me say like that. A lot of the time, and often not through the fault of the journalist either. It's just cause the information is just not there sometimes, and especially the colleagues that do print stories, they have to fill the space one way or another so that a lot of generic things get put in there. But if we get to a place where we're recording things better, recording, storing, and making available of said information, I think better stories can come from this, and we won't have to rely on, you know, word of mouth. Cause who, like Carlos said, he cross-referenced a lot of the things in his book, but who really knows if that's the truth or not? You know? Who really knows if the information he got on a particular match in 1980, whatever, is true? Even not even going back that far, who knows if the information he got from a match from 2006, let's say, for example, if there's no archives, who really knows if that's true or not? Even if you get three people to confirm what the fourth person said. You know, the historical documentation being based on he said, she said, is quite, it's not ideal. Let's say it like that. But let's go to a brief musical break before we wrap up here on the Eagle Sports Zone. We will be right back.
We're jamming. sitting on Zion. It rules all creation. Yeah, we're jamming.
Yeah!
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I would now like us to take a listen to some of the greatest world records in sports history. No, we wouldn't know about this if there wasn't someone keeping track of said records. So let's take a listen.
Österreich hat hier das
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my brother. How are you?
Good.
I'm alright too.
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay. It's like the network is something else. Oh, you can hear me proper.
Yeah, I can hear you good now. I can hear you good now.
Okay.
Yes.
What I was saying, I want to add something what the Master Kambaibo was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding sport in Namibia in general.
Yeah.
It's like we don't recognize our athletic effort what they are putting on. I'm saying so when it comes to reward.
Mm-hmm.
If you find even a top scorer, goal scorer in Namibia, sometimes even getting less than 20,000.
Yeah.
And that is already not motivating even the youth.
Yeah, it's true.
School to take up sport as a career.
Mm-hmm.
We can see our boxing. Some boxing, you know, you're supposed to be full 24 hour gym.
Yeah.
But sometimes I find this boxing, either a taxi driver or it's working in one of the retailer shop.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, which is really, and I think it's only in Namibia we don't recognize the professional. What about you and you see how the athletes have been paid? Mm-hmm. That's why you see our players. I'm grateful for Namibia to go to play in Botswana, some in South Africa and Angola and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a hard time also for our athletic to get what they deserve.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And I like the way he described the book. I'm looking forward even to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Serious. And it is a thing which I think we've been lacking in our history, especially when it comes to sport even. We don't have, and back days, like in our era, we used to, some of us, we are lucky enough to have even what? A magazine from South Africa, Kickoff. I don't know if they still publishing anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure actually, but I do remember that magazine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because some of us, we are even used to have those, Daniel Amudawa and the others, picture in our room.
Yeah.
If you are supporting a judge, you yeah, we used to have those moments, you say, by way, play of the month.
Uh-huh.
We put those in our room and so on. But mm-hmm. now these days, I don't think so. And as a Namibian, we supposed to have the same.
Yeah.
Because remember, our even the radio is not reaching out the corner of Namibia. There are some places where I'm telling you, a newspaper, people are reading the newspaper for January.
Mm.
I'm telling you to get hold of that, just calendar news. It takes time.
Yeah.
And really, I think, especially like a radio, like a Eagle FM, people are able even to access it online. But our problem is that when even come to our players, they are not really exposed because you never find them even there. Video on YouTube.
Mm.
But at that angle is if you are like want to Google like a Zambian Premier League, you even find it videos or the team out there playing. But only Namibia. Sometimes you'll find it like maybe NBC is covering, but with a poor quality service even. You see, you hear they are showing the crowd, and then you see the, you just hear that there's a goal. We are not really up moving with the world when it comes to sports, seriously. We are too much far. And I don't know who really supposed to invest. Especially private corporate, I think. They need to be held accountability for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can sponsor, like, Nedbank, they're able to sponsor in South Africa Nedbank Cup
mm-hmm.
with a lot of money. But here, nothing, they're plowing back. And the FNB, they're having a stadium in South Africa. Like now I see they are come on board to construct the what? Cricket field.
Yeah.
That's the only thing which I think they contribute, but if you go, come to Katutra, you don't find the cricket field here.
Mm.
And I don't know even what our sports commission is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things are supposed to be frustrated. You want to tell me that people from the north, they cannot play cricket? If we grow up people, I mean, especially girls and even some boys, they used to play what? Knicks. Knicks, I think, on the mail.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is our new product already.
Yeah.
Knicks, no sugar, no diligent. All those things, I'm telling you, it's like almost like you are, the way you are catching what? Cricket. Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, the talents are there, but the sports are not exposed to people who are even, if you go to South Africa, how many black are representing South Africa when it comes to cricket? Mm. Or even national, rugby team?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for them, they put it's basically a law that there have to be a certain amount of black people in the team.
Exactly. That is supposed to apply to Namibia.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I was even surprised that Namibia, they are doing well in hockey, what? Indoor hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the people who are there, they are just white. Not even one black. And I'm like, what is this? Is this in Namibia or somewhere in Europe? Because even in Europe, just imagine even like Germany.
Yeah.
They're having black people in their hockey team. But that nothing, not even one.
Mm.
Not even a color like a bus tail is there. You wonder, what is this? Is this a how do you call what? Rainbow nation. No. We're supposed to have a representative, a figure there. But the problem is that even those people who are able to exercise those field, like who are living in our public and what, they are not interested. Their kids are not interested in the sport.
Yeah.
But people who are interested, they're in Katutura. But you don't find them in soccer field, I mean, rugby field here. You don't find the tennis court here. Your swimming pool, it's overcrowded in losing there, but they're not even trying to upgrade or bring one in Katutura.
Yeah.
Talk about even the cinema. Nothing. All those are things which they can fund. Then they can even give those to those one who are applying for 36 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give it them access that you learn this a tennis court. Then we want it to upstanded the whole time, because here you can even do what if there's no tennis court, the people are coming for clubbing. club group. You can do like hosting even event like even wedding or so something. But there's nothing like that, my friend Katutula. We are just every time you find even this kid creating their own soccer field, next time you find it, it's already a flat there. People are there building their flat.
Yeah.
On just where the kids are supposed to be playing. Recreation park is nothing in Katutura, seriously. And I don't know what municipality they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Katutura people, when they are saying they are going to the bars and they are drinking too much, what do you expect people to do if young people, they are active?
Yeah.
But the way they can be entertained, it's only the bar because it's where the TV is.
Yes,
it's true. And so on.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, unless we have something to add or a question, I'm living up there.
Do you,
maybe somebody can come from.
Are you part of any sports clubs yourself?
Yeah. We do playing in the soccer field here at Goria Hub.
Okay.
We have some club here who are playing what do you call this? Grassroots football.
Mm-hmm.
And mind me, we take care of that field, but municipality, when they are coming, they didn't even give us a note that they are coming to do with their event.
No.
It just seems them coming with their truck and putting up tenders. That's the problem I have with the municipality, seriously.
Yeah.
We are taking care of that field to keep it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That wherever they come, they don't give us a notice that, you know, you are coming these days. Guys, give us a space. Because we are playing a league, and they're interrupting that league to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a problem. And I've been playing even soccer before.
Yeah.
We are the one who are even excluded when it comes to what? 18 to 35. Because some of us, we want to have a grassroots football, to have those academy.
Mm.
But there's no way. You go to development, they will tell you no, they don't find those sports. I don't know where we are, sorry, where we are heading as a country.
Yeah.
And the sport these days, it's not about only fitness. Sport can contribute to economy. Look at the Nigerian.
Yeah, 100%.
Or you look at what Argentina and Brazil.
Mm.
If it was not football, all those Ronaldinho, we don't know them.
Yeah.
And those people, they never even reach a target, or, I mean, when it comes to school. Even Ronaldo and Messi, the most even highest paid. They don't have any academic when it comes to academic.
Mm.
But there are people somewhere, back home, we can even give a good example of Saudi and others.
Yeah.
Who are doing extremely well and they are making money to bring it home.
Yeah.
Really, we need to start funding football. I think we can even have a levy replacing some of the incompetent when you come to, because we are funding a lot of organizations, but we don't know where they are doing for our money when it comes to petrol.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe we can start with the.
Yeah, no, they said they want to introduce a levy, but until now we haven't heard anything about it.
You see, no.
Yeah.
Seriously, we need to start taking care of, let us turn everything into professional. Because it's only our country where we are having a lot of resources, but we are surrounded by people who are playing professional.
Yeah.
When the national team lose, everybody's talking. But why we don't talk when they are doing well?
Mm.
And now, how long have we been constructing the Independence Stadium? Up to now.
Yeah.
It's almost like 5 years.
Yeah. Construction hasn't even started yet.
Exactly. And now we are clanging for the team to lose in Botswana. They have to lose because they don't have a supporter.
Yeah.
Do you think when Africans start, they are playing with Chula Chula? Chula Chula always win because of what? They are good. No, it's because of the crowd.
Mm.
You as a player, you have confidence when people are shouting at them behind you.
Yeah.
To make sure. Like, look what even yesterday we did. Because the guys are lacking confidence. They are giving a ball to the striker.
Yeah, no, that was a bad mistake.
It's a blunder, my friend. And I think it's that time also, when these people also, I think, wherever they are picking, sometimes they can just come to the radio and say, no, we pick who, what do you think, Lucas? Because I'm telling you, some of us, we go and watch the Premier League, Namibia Premier League.
Mm.
You can see there's a capable players, like from Nampol. You talk about even the guy was a backline of what? Chula Chula, those two stoppers.
Mm.
And you talk about even KK, you talk about, there are some good players, quality.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why every time Africans start having the representative, like 80 players in the national team.
Mm.
And now we are living with Grava. You know that every time he's a man of the match at what, Scotland, in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
But he's leaving him at the bench. No. Sometimes as the coach, he had to come to the radio like Eagle FM. Then as a nation, we can
ask him the questions.
Have input.
Yeah.
It's the same also. If you see Brazilian when they are picking, they always say, come to the radio. And they say, no, this guy, they even give a suggestion that, no, this guy is a good, I think it's good if he's playing left back, or is he good if he's defending midfield, or is he good if he's attacking?
Mm.
Yeah, because now we don't have any league which is going on. Sometimes it's just a lack of confidence as well, because fitness also playing an important role.
Mm-hmm.
Our players are not playing. There's no Premier League because they are trying to find what? A sponsor.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, my brother, thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Thank you for coming through.
Good, my report. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Same to you.
Yes, we have around 10 minutes left in the Eagle Sports Zone. If you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. And today we were talking about the importance of record keeping. Keeping record of statistics in our Namibian sports. We need to know who's doing what, when, how many times they are performing or not performing, how many times they're scoring goals, how many times, how many clean sheets. You know, in Namibia, for example, who has kept the most clean sheets in Namibian football history? Do we actually know this information? That would be a good statistic to know. You know, if there's a young keeper coming out there, he doesn't even have a target to live up to say, if I do my job to this level, if I keep
who knows, maybe 200 clean sheets, then I'll be classed as the best goalkeeper in Namibia. At least statistics wise. But we don't know. Do we actually know who is the highest goal scoring Namibian player in the Namibian Premier League now, speaking about? Not counting Shalulile. Do we know this? On the women's side, do we know this? Do we know who has scored the most tries in Namibian rugby history? I don't know if we know this. But what we do know is the information of players that have played abroad, for example. You know? Example one, Shalulile. We know his statistics. And even his, I have some questions about that record. Some of the things regarding that record I don't really understand. But regardless, according to the record books, he is the all-time scorer. At least there's a record book to go off there in that case. But for our other athletes, it's unfortunate. We don't know. But yes, let's take one last musical break before we sign off for the evening here on the Eagle Sports Zone.
Put your hands together. Clap along with the music. Uh-huh. The song is not a very hard one, you see. But I'd like everybody to listen to what I'm saying to you. You're the reason I wanna live.
About Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Yes, wrapping up here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Be sure to stay tuned to your number one talk radio station. Coming up with great programming with Benedicta at 9, Tate Matias coming on at 2 a.m. And I will be back at same time and same place next week, Sunday.